Now, let's read Bible together. Today's title is Now is the Time to Love. Open your Bible at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. Let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has been ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The year 2023 is coming to an end, and two major wars have taken place over the last year and this year that could end at any moment, and involving the world. It seemed like the war would be over soon. However, before it shows no sign of ending, the second war began. At first, it was thought that this second war would soon be over and that it should be over soon, but with no end in sight. It became a reality, and some people began to call it warm up for the World War III or new pre-war period. In Bethlehem, Israel, the birthplace of the Lord Jesus, the decision was made to cancel this year's Christmas celebration and all Christmas events due to the war. It is reported that there are many victims and many people in grief, and that the war must end as soon as possible. On the other hand, it is rarely openly known that there are a surprisingly large number of people who do not want the war to end so easily. Surprisingly, some of these people have great power and wealth that can influence the social situation, making people bow down before their wealth and think, oh well, it can be helped. This does not seem to be made known to the the public very often. We are little informed that a lot of people are involved in the big business of war on a global level, because it is a matter that could affect our daily bread. Although things like weapons are already being exported from Japan, but someone may want to sell them more openly and making a show of it. For example, I'd like to sell these weapons while advertising that they are made in Japan and have excellent performance. It would be a shame to miss out on this lucrative business opportunity. And if we can freely make and export weapons, we can expect another booming economy like in the past. For those of us who live in such world situation and in such a world, how do the words of the first epistle of John that we have just read sound? The words, love one another, and let us love one another, for God is love. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Do you still talk like that? What is the power of such a thing? Can it generate huge profits? How much power? How much resolution? How much influence? How much it will lead to the end of war? Are these words the kind of thoughts that come to mind? Yet the Bible speaks of love. It speaks of war, hatred, and warfare. Because we have lost love. Because we have forgotten that God is love. Because we refuse to know that God is love. Because we refuse to acknowledge that God is love. Because we fail to see that God's love is available to everyone. We are lonely, empty, confused, and sad. And we try to drown our sorrow to fighting with other people. They are trying to drown their sorrows by fighting with others. That is the state of man who has lost God. And the Bible says, love is the only thing that lasts. Love is the answer. Love is the solution. Love is the essence of God, and love is Jesus Christ. Pastor Bonfefa, who was was died by Nazi Germany said, to claim that you can have love without Christ is like liver flowing without source of water. It has already been proven our daily lives and in the history of mankind that without that person of Jesus Christ, love becomes very obsolete. And eventually disappears, and desire to truly abandon the battle will never be born. Let's see, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. This is how God shows His love among us. He sent His love and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that we love us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is where love is. What can a little thing that like that do to me a small person attending a small worship service in a small church in a small prefecture in Japan, in a small city in Ibaraki, in a small church in Tsujura, trying to live in the love of the person of Jesus Christ, trying to love each other. What can it possibly affect? However, if we look at the Lord Jesus coming to this earth, in what kind of form he came to this earth, we will find that our doubts will change. The Lord Jesus was born as a helpless baby. Baby who could do nothing without help of his mother and father. The image of God, the invisible God form, the one who is God, was born without any power. Here is an important message. Surprisingly, God is the one who does not rely on power, the one who has nothing to do with the power. Which is well expressed in the way Jesus was born. Not only that, the figure of Lord Jesus on the cross is also a figure far removed from power. If you are truly God, if you are the Son of God, let the heavenly army, the ultimate in the power, be dispatched to you and come down from that miserable cross. Jesus did not respond to Satan's temptation. If you are really God, if you are really the Son of God, then send your army, the heavenly army. People said to Jesus, but he did nothing. Why? Because he knew more painfully than anyone else that responding to power with power has no solution, and that rather than fundamental solution, it only creates a cycle that pleases Satan, who eventually creates new forces of rebellion. Furthermore, I believe that he did so in order to openly show us that the human race has forgotten God, does not know God, refused to acknowledge true God, and that human race has been damaged by what has come, and that this is what boasting of power and accumulating power was all about. Just as Joseph, who became the prime minister of Egypt, stored up grain for the future according to the prophetic word shown to him by God and shared it with the people as the occasion arose, there should be enough of a store of grace that is conscious of God's eyes and has its gaze fixed on God. What is important is whether or not there is consciousness of God's grace, whether or not I have or want to put the sovereignty of the Lord God as the highest priority, that everything given is God's grace, whether or not I want it to be my joy, that God is pleased, whether or not I trust in God, God's relationship with God. Whether or not I am in communion with God. By nature, people are beings who can truly live by living in communion with God. If we ignore God and live without the fear of God, without being aware of God's eyes on us, we seem to be driven by unspeakable anxiety and fear, and we become obsessed with having power to dispel it. And even if we do achieve a certain level of power, the fear that we may lose that power causes us to cling to the idea of adding to our power reserves. As a result, we will not be able to reach the point of giving and sharing, as Jesus said. This world is so rich and wealthy because of God's grace. It is not a world that is not rich. It is world that is rich and wealthy in every possible way. But the problem is that we are keeping that wealth in a certain place, perhaps because of anxiety or fear. And we are fighting to make that wealth last as long and as big as possible. And if possible, to be able to place ourselves in that wealth using words like success and victory. Perhaps this is the way of world that does not try to be aware of God's eyes. The establishment of the year of Jubilee in Jubilee in Levi 25th of the Old Testament is a warning against the evil that can cause the stagnation of all the wealth and power God has given by us. By not being aware of God's eyes on us. We have experience on an individual, national, and global level, as well as in the context of history, the obsession with having power eventually leads to destruction. Under such a principle, we human beings have been doing nothing but using our power to conquer, expand, and mount. The most obvious result of this is the fact that we, the people of today, are unable to celebrate Christmas, the celebration of birth of Lord Jesus, who was born helpless in the land of his birth, Bethlehem. I feel that Jesus, through his very birth, is teaching us that surrender of power is our fundamental challenge, problem, and solution. Most people may think, no, I don't have that much power. But sadly, people unconsciously fight for control when they meet and relate to any person. If I am going to be mounted, I want to be mounted in the way that doesn't hurt my pride. And And I want to show my power to the best of my ability. That's human being. Adam, the first man to sin, unwittingly tried to subdue his wife Eve, whom he was supposed to love with force. Cain, the firstborn Adam and Eve, did not like his brother Abel and killed him with force. The development of mankind's progress from then on is recorded throughout the Bible. And if we were to describe that progress in a few words, it would be a contest of strength. Who is richer? Who has stronger weapons? Who can play a better sound? Who can make better product? Who is bigger? Who is stronger? Finally, according to the expression in Genesis 6, the wickedness of man increased on earth, and all that we purposed in his heart was evil, and he became corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with tyranny. But what Jesus, who was born as baby to our world, teaches us with his own body is to give up power. What I have done, my accomplishment, my credential, my background, my knowledge, my hard work, my wealth, my righteousness, my sharpness, my accumulated experience and my power, it is always me that is there. After all, to give up power would also mean to renounce I before God. Renounce me and rely on God, from love for me to love for God. From attachment to me to trust in God. From fear of me to peace with God. From pleasing me to pleasing God. Then, as a result, love for others will be born, and love for oneself will be born. If we admit that we are powerless before God, and if we expose our powerless before God, the powerlessness leads to the realization that we are put into overwhelming power, that we have nothing to fear but God. And to peace, Apostle Paul's confession, it is when I am weak that I am strong, can be mine. And the strength of John the Baptist, who was martyred by being beheaded by the powerful man who boasted of his power by pointing out right and wrong and as wrong, can also be strength. And eventually Jesus will tell me, my beloved and faithful servant, I will be blessed to have Jesus say to I will be blessed. The Bible tells us that Jesus was born for us, but then in Jesus, did God express only part of himself, or did he express all of himself? In other words, we need to know for sure whether God gave us only a part of himself or all of himself. Let's see, Psalm chapter 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I feel free from your presence? If I go up the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. Darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well, my frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the day ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The Lord God never slumber, never sleeps, but watches over each and every one of us with divided attention and watchful eyes, watching our every move. He never slumbers. And God is not like us, who use part of our time to go before him, but he uses all his time for us forever. He watches over what we think, what we say, and how we decide. And the birth of Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of that watchfulness. The nakedness of God, who offered everything to us, is Jesus Christ, who was born as baby. The Lord God, Creator Father, has given us all of himself. What more do we need? Of course, there are many things we need, but none of them are more valuable than the Lord Jesus. Let's see, Micah chapter 6, verse 3. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Barak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaamson of Beor answered, "Remember your journey from Sittim to Gilgal, that you may know that righteous acts of Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 livers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" He was shown you. O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Have I not given you all my all, and I have given you my all? Don't you feel that God is asking us with tears in his eyes as he He asked us then? I think we should think about it once. I wonder if we have living in harmony with the Word of God. In the midst of the pressing situation of having to fight war and being called upon to fight a war, King Ahaz was given a wondrous sign by God. Behold, a virgin is pregnant, and she will give birth to a son, and he will call his name Emmanuel, and she will give birth to a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. Now all Ahaz wanted was state-of-the-art weapons, a well-trained army, and a victory that would overwhelm the enemy nation. But God's question to Ahaz was more fundamental. You have asked me, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only God, the creator of heaven, earth, and all things, to set up human kings so that you can wage war as honorably as the nation around you, and you have actually done so, have sustained your nation to this point. But what happened to you in the end? What kind of situation do you find yourselves in now? You have abandoned God, forgotten God, refused to know God, and created nation, society, and a human pattern that depends on power, relies on accumulating power. After all, have you not been no different from the world that laments its lack of power, is anxious about its lack of power, and is driven by fear? Are you not the result of having surrendered the truth of being humble before me, relying on me, admitting your poverty before me, admitting your inability, admitting your sinfulness, admitting your lack of love, remembering my love, believing in my love, and loving one another according to my love. Such is what I require of you, Emmanuel, that you do not forget for a moment that I am with you. I ask you, Emmanuel, to remember even for a moment that I am with you, and to return to the peace of your Savior, who is born as a baby, helpless but trusting, dependent and protected in all things in God. Why don't you surrender all your power to me and choose to live with me, your God, without relying on strength, weapons, or wealth? Won't you change your way of life? I believe that the same question is being asked of us this Christmas time. God's grace has been fully poured out on us. It is hard. It is painful. It is severe. It hurts. Nevertheless, I believe that God's grace has been sufficient. And if we think it is not sufficient, God will surely lead us to a place where we can confess that we have enough in the future. So let us love each other. Let us not give up on loving each other, but let us depend on the grace we should depend on and on one on whom we should depend. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly God, you give us everything and you give us Jesus Christ through Virgin Mary, and the words you talk to Ahaz, now you at same Ahaz you talked, now you talk to us. Thank you for your words. Thank you for sending the one and only Son to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.